This episode brought to you by
Audible.com.
Well, it's not quite audible.com. It's audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin because that's where they get 30 days free and a book to get them started. So for your book recommendation, Jen Ferratu.
So today it's third non-Stephen King book recommendation. I'm going to recommend The Ruins by Scott Smith. It's really good. It's about a group of kids who go, like college students who go on vacation and they find themselves in a sticky situation. Let's just say lots of plant horror.
Yes. Lots of plant horror?
Yeah, there's an evil plant in
like
it.
The Happening?
Like the bad guys of Venus Flytrap?
Kind of.
Is this the Little Shop of Horrors?
Kind of.
Audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin. Get you 30 days free and a book to get you started. This episode also brought to you by Nick Beam.
Yay, Nick Beam.
Industries.
So awesome.
Who doesn't have anything for us to promote for him. So no. I just want to tell you how much I really like Nick B.
Yes, he's awesome.
He's like the nicest dude ever.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
He's from Australia, so he's got to be nice, right?
Friends
of Australia. Shrimp on the Bobby. Yeah.
Don't be racist,
Jen. Are they cool?
Yeah. Aww. What are you in, a sorority?
What even is Australia? Can we do an Australian version of our theme music?
It's like a bunch of didgeridoos. and then a sample of, that's not a knife. That's not a knife. That's not a knife.
Why is this not our theme music now?
I know. Wasted opportunity. Todd, can you bring our theme music in, please? Let's end this now. Still working the kinks out of this joke program.
Joke program.
Beta testing
still
right now.
Pluggy.
Have not been funny since Y2K.
Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody.
Know, right?
I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey. Aww.
I am your Horror Virgin, Todd. I'll take it. We have a very special guest today.
We do. We I'll have the Jen Podfather on our episode today. My husband, Corey, is joining us.
From Kansas City.
From Kansas City.
Yeah, we are live from Kansas City.
That's right. Corey doesn't actually live in Kansas City. Corey lives in our town with me. But yeah, we
calling in via Skype from Kansas City.
Right.
Jen's husband, who totally they didn't meet at camp, guys.
I mean, we've never met. It's a long distance relationship.
But really, this pod's a little weird because it's Todd and I in their hotel room. They're in bed and we're just sitting.
Ooh, yeah, I don't like this.
I've been meaning to talk to you guys about this. I just wanted to wait till we were recording. We're recording from Kansas City because we are doing our very first live show tonight. Now, unless you're living the same day over and over again, when you hear this episode,
ooh, subtle plug of the movie we watch,
the live show will have already happened because we're doing it tonight. We're excited.
We will probably drop that live episode in the feed. It's not going to be an episode like a regular movie episode because we don't have enough time to do an actual movie. We'll probably drop it like a Wednesday or Thursday and keep the regular movie schedule every Monday. We actually should mention we watched Happy Death Day.
We should,
These are a lot of vague references.
Yeah. Mikey loves this movie.
Mikey did. Yeah,
he brought it up.
Loves a strong word. I really liked it.
I really liked it too.
I didn't think I was going to like this movie. I rented it on a whim.
On a lark.
On a lark.
A fancy.
I said, I got Mexican takeout. Let's watch
the
movie.
I put my monocle in and said, this might be a good laugh.
And it was.
Yes.
It's not super scary, but we've done some super scary films and we're in a hotel room.
Yeah, and honestly, it wasn't that bad. Like, I am the one who is typically most scared by things, and this had a few jump scares that were a little tense, but they weren't even that bad.
Right.
I love movies that rip off Groundhog Day because I love Groundhog Day.
How many are there?
There's got to be.
You've got this movie. You've got Groundhog Day. You've got Jacob's Ladder. You've got Bridge Over River.
There's
Clyde.
A Hallmark
you've
movie.
Got, what? Debbie Does Dallas.
One of my favorite all-time Hallmark Christmas movies is The 12 Dates of Christmas.
Oh my goodness.
And it's
this sort of felt like 51st Dates to me on some level.
And that
it
movie
did, yeah.
That movie is what's the girl's name from Road Trip, the blonde girl?
Amy Smart.
Amy Smart reliving Christmas Eve over and over again until she does it right. And I really like that movie.
Does she remember to wrap all her presents and put the milk and the cookies out and carrots for the reindeer? And then she gets to have Christmas.
It's actually
morning.
A better Hallmark movie than you would think. It must be.
Well, it also has dates in the title, so she's probably going
She goes on
a
date with Zach from Saved by the Bell, and it goes terrible. Anyway.
Mark Paul Gosselaar?
Does Kelly Kapowski know? All right, so let's talk about the movie.
Let's go through the movie.
But it's interesting you bring up a Christmas show, because it reminds me of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah,
there are some Christmas Carol elements in it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When she goes,
I'm just glad you guys liked it. I'm especially glad Corey liked it, because I don't know much about Corey. This whole trip has been a bonding experience.
He has very discerning tastes.
Yes.
I also want to get something off my chest about another reason that this movie is predictable, because I went to go see New Halloween in theaters this year and saw the preview for Happy Death Day to You, where they fucking reveal the killer in the trailer for the second movie. And I hadn't seen this movie yet. So right. after seeing that trailer, I now knew who the killer was the whole time.
I saw that trailer as well and had completely forgotten who the killer was. We have to go through this movie.
Hey guys, can we just go through this fucking movie?
Please.
Scene right. one.
So Happy Death Day, we wake up to Tree is the girl's name.
I don't like this. I know we just started. I'm sorry. Why is her name Tree?
Well, and Mikey said that they were going to explain it and they never did.
No, they didn't. You've seen this movie before.
Well, I don't know all the details.
All right.
I'm not a movie machine.
Yeah.
I was not programmed to movie. I was programmed to pod.
Programmed to pod.
And I'm still working the kinks out of that program. All right. So we wake up with the Tree in the bed. She's
and
in.
She leaves.
She wakes up.
No she's in
she
nice wakes guys. Up and says, oh, she leaves.
Damn. Not bothered with the jokes.
I know.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of tree puns.
So nice. She wakes up and says, I am Groot. And then the guy in the room who, what's his name?
Carter.
It's Carter. Carter. Yes.
Yeah. Carter.
So she wakes up.
He only said his name like five times, six times in the movie.
Well, he's a nice guy. Doesn't say his name a lot.
She doesn't remember his name either.
No, this is the first time she wakes up there.
Mm-hmm. She's got a hangover.
He's already up, like, fixing something for her. Mm-hmm. She's wearing his t-shirt. Yeah. She looks like garbage.
I mean, she looks pretty good. She could definitely get it.
I have a huge crush on her. I'm just saying she looks very hungover.
Yeah, I mean, yes. We find out later in the movie that they did not have sex, and he just, like, took care of her because she was real drunk.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she could get it still.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As Corey said, we have this whole morning routine.
Yeah. Nice guy has folded her pants for her.
Did he really fold
her?
Yeah,
he said it like five times.
He said it like nine times. You've seen this movie eight times. I've seen this once.
What I'd really like to see is how they met, because clearly she was a bitch, you know, before she transformed. And like, this is a super nice guy. How did he bring her home?
I have an answer. Context clues. Look at her mascara. She was definitely crying somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And he found her and brought her back and took care of her.
Okay, so here's what I think. The curly guy that Danielle likes later on in the movie, this guy
the curly
has...
curly guy?
He's got curly hair, remember?
What?
Oh, she punches him.
Pleasure.
The guy curly guy.
Yeah, that she makes out with. And this guy's got curly hair, too. So I think maybe she just got him mixed up or something.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right.
And then the curly guy just went home.
They did kind of look alike.
Yeah, Corey, back me up. I'm always right.
But she was crying. I feel like there was a breakdown.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that never happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Crying is often a symptom
of
being
Corey's
shit-faced.
Like, I wish it never happened.
I don't drink anymore, guys.
There's a reason.
Yes, there is. Yeah, so I was watching this Walk of Shame, and I was like, man, I've been there. That sucks.
Well, we've all been there, Jen.
That's why I don't drink anymore. So one time... I actually fell down some stairs while I was drunk.
What?
And then I had to do the Walk of Shame across campus with a sprained ankle. So I was just limping back to my dorm. It was sad. It was a dark day for me.
Yeah, it was.
But I didn't have to relive it over and over again. So it was
okay. That's true. You only had to live it once.
All right. So Tree is walking across campus. And then this is the first time we see the montage that we're going to see of her walking across campus.
Yeah, we see the creepy dude checking her out.
Yeah, leery glasses.
Save the planet chick.
Mm-hmm.
Sprinklers. Yep. Car alarm.
Drunk. Passed out.
Fraternity.
I think they weren't drunk. I think
pledges.
He was making them stand out there. And they had like 26 hours written on one of them on like a dry erase board. Yeah. So they had been standing out there for like 26 hours.
And we see one of them fall down.
Yeah. Falls I think down. It was just asleep.
Okay. Yeah.
Or, you know, really
I just
tired.
I assumed they had been making them drink.
I thought I heard something about how many beers they had had.
They're making them sing 99 bottles of beer on the wall. 99 bottles of beer.
That's a long time. I feel like one of her good deeds could have been to explain to all those pledges that it's not worth it.
No. You have to pay... a cover to be tortured by these people.
Exactly.
You don't want friends like that, guys.
No.
Friends don't make friends pay for friendship.
All right, so we see the montage of her walking across campus that we will see many times. Oh, and fun fact about the sprinklers. Apparently one time they did the sprinklers and they couldn't get them to turn off, so they lost like an hour of film time, which is funny.
That is a fun fact.
That's awesome.
That might be my favorite
fun fact. I honestly feel bad for the couple who was those actor and actress.
Oh, I know.
Who like had to sit there every time knowing the sprinklers were about to go off.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to film it again. Change change back into the exact same clothes you were wearing, but we've dried for you now.
But like, you know what? They got paid for it, and maybe they fell in love or something.
Maybe they did. Maybe
well, it's like a love. It was their Love Actually moment.
Oh yeah, they bonded over their hatred.
Except they weren't
sprinklers.
Naked.
I love Love Actually.
Me
too. I haven't seen it in a while. I don't remember that part.
So this is where she walks across the grass in the heels, and I said every time, it's really hard to walk across grass in heels.
You said it like you knew it.
And I said every time, it is really hard to walk across grass in heels. That's why you have to find out if weddings are outside weddings.
When do you wear heels? No judgment.
It's like for costumes or whatever. Like I've worn dresses and stuff.
I've given up on heels.
Well, you got your man.
Mikey doesn't want to gloss over what Todd just said.
Yeah, I mean, tell us more about your costumes.
The first time I wore drag... was,
back in the day.
When I was,
he's getting real comfortable in his chair as he's reminiscing.
I was 14.
Oh, I wanted it to be older.
And we were at my friend's place, and my brother and I put on dresses.
It's okay. This is a
pizza.
Safe place. Just let it out.
Did you order extra anchovies for that pizza?
We did not. Patrick Dempsey did not show up. But that was the first time, yeah. I mean, I don't do it often. It's like for jokes or like for parties that are like cross-dressing parties or whatever.
Am I the only one like weirded out by any of these words?
I mean, I just think people can choose to wear whatever they want.
Yeah, I'm like really comfortable with my masculinity, so it does not bother me to wear feminine. I have a white leather jacket, Mikey.
May or may not be the negative version of the Michael Jackson.
The photo negative of Michael Jackson and Thriller.
I have two takeaways. One, you know, that's great. I accept your, and two, I never get invited to any parties.
Not like these.
That's because you dress shame people.
Yeah, because you're wearing a shirt that says my favorite color is freedom.
That's true.
I'm sorry, that could not have gone any better. Like I walked into that so happy, like
clicked your heels on the way.
I like pranced into that joke so happy I got there. Speaking of people who are into alternate sexualities, this is where she runs into Tim.
Oh, spoilers. Yeah, that's right. Is his name Tim?
I'm pretty sure it's Tim.
It is Tim, because you were talking about that guy took our picture.
That was so weird.
I had
so many weird experiences last night when we came to Panic Fest. Should I tell the story?
Yeah, tell the bathroom story because we were both there.
Okay.
All right. So we had driven literally from Nashville to Kansas City Panic Fest. Like we didn't go to our hotel first. We drove right to Panic Fest. So of course we all had to like go to the bathroom. So we go, Mikey and I make a beeline to the bathroom. We're the only one in there. I get finished, start to wash my hands, and someone comes in and goes, "Hey, how was the drive from Nashville?" We have talked to nobody in there.
I stopped walking. I just stopped. And I go, "What?"
And then I said, "How did you know we were from Nashville?" And he goes, "Because I know you're Todd." And then Mikey goes, "Good luck, Todd."
I mean, you have posted pictures of yourself.
And then
I was
walked
like,
away.
I was like, peace out.
Yeah, he was like, I am noping out of this conversation. He turned out to be Tyler from Who the Hell Is This For podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who was great. He was a very, very nice guy. It was just a really weird experience.
Well, especially when you just get out of the car. And we took naps, so I was like discombobulated.
Oh, yeah. It was rough. Anyway, Tim. So this is where she runs into Tim.
So she walks into Tim, who she's gone out on a date with Subway.
Can I tell this story?
Yes.
This part, she's really, she has like a...
I feel like Mikey's going to be working through some things while he tells us this story.
She has like a very, I don't want to say sorority-ish voice.
She does at the very beginning because she's still, like, as Corey said, sort of a bitch.
She is kind of a bitch. She's like, who takes a person to Subway on a date? But she does have a point because Jen goes, what if he doesn't have a lot of money? And I'm like, you just have to get creative and like go on a picnic with Subway.
Yeah.
I have a new coworker and she's younger, like just out of college. And she went on a date with somebody. Their first date was to Costco.
Oh,
they walked around Costco
cute.
Getting free samples.
I mean, and I think it depends on where you're from. If you're from I'm from a rural town. You don't have like nice restaurants to go
that's
to.
That's true,
you
too.
Have Subway.
The
McDonald's.
Nicest restaurant might be Subway within 50
but
miles.
But my point is, if you put a little thought and romance into it.
And then she said, you don't have a foot long.
That was the mean part.
Yeah.
But how does she know? Because there's no way he let her see it.
She improvised.
But also, who has a foot long?
Yeah, nobody wants a foot long. And I also don't like Subway. Corey took me to a very nice restaurant on our first date.
So did you guys have a second date or like what happened?
We got married. Yeah.
What?
That night. We did actually talk about getting married in Hawaii on our first date. And then we got married in Hawaii almost a year
How
later.
Did you guys know each other was like the one?
We're not going to get into it. I don't understand why you're asking, because you clearly have commitment issues.
How can I tell if girls I meet are.
Oh my God. I've never been more happy than I am right now.
It has been a bonding experience. That's why I feel comfortable saying that.
Corey, that was great. That was great.
All right. So she's really bitchy to Tim.
Yeah, she
And
is.
Then walks away. But Tim at this point just seems like a,
yeah, you don't
a
know
super
anything about
possessive
Tim.
Kind of clingy. Maybe not possessive, but clingy guy.
Yeah, because he jumps out. Well, he doesn't jump out, but he's like waiting
like
for her.
Like orbs out like he had been waiting there an like hour for her. Out,
why haven't yeah. you returned my texts, tree? Yeah.
So then she gets to her sorority house.
Yeah, I just wrote bitchy sorority house. Bitchy that is what sister it is. At sorority house. Yeah, man, this does not paint sororities in a very flattering
what's
light.
The, what's no, like it the, does not.
Yeah, what's the head sorority girl's name who's
Danielle.
Like the meanest?
Danielle.
Yeah, bitchy sister for a while.
She's my favorite character.
Really?
Just she's because really she's funny. So ridiculous.
She is over the top yeah. racist yes. in this movie. I actually Googled halfway through this movie, is Happy Death Day racist?
I don't think it's overtly racist, but they do make some interesting choices about the characters that
they shame. Yeah,
it could be the writer's having fun with it just to see if someone maybe. Picked it up. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe their favorite color is freedom too, Mikey.
Is that why you like this movie so much?
I feel like this podcast is taking a real bad turn for me.
Specifically.
Yeah. All right. So we got bitchy sister at the sorority house.
Well, and she like questions her as she goes up the steps. Mm-hmm.
And we learn later that Tree made out with a guy that this girl liked.
Yeah, curly haired dude.
Yeah, curly guy. Yeah. So then she goes up to her room and we meet
her five-head roommate.
Garo's daughter from Mortal Kombat.
I don't get that.
All dozen of you will love this joke. Yeah.
There are dozens of us.
That means if you and I get it, there are only 10 other people who got that joke.
That's some fast
I do it for you.
But she's wearing scrubs, so we...
Yeah, she's a nursing student, probably. Yeah.
She seems nice. She's not, though.
More on that later.
Right, right. To be continued.
She's actually the meanest sorority girl.
She is.
Oh.
She tries to murder her immediately.
Yeah, yeah. So they're talking. That's when we find out what Tree did last night.
And what is confusing to me is she a nurse? Is she a real... Like, she's living in the sorority house, so she's clearly a college student, but she's...
A nurse.
She's
such,
so she's important enough that she has student. Access to a serial killer in the hospital.
A that's nursing true. Student would have access to the floor.
Maybe.
Also, she might have like a part-time job as like a nurse tech
yeah.
while okay. she's in nursing school.
Candy striper?
So anyway, the roommate Fivehead gives the main character a cupcake yes. with one candle in it.
And we find out that Tree doesn't want anybody to know it's her birthday or celebrate right. her birthday at all. Oh, and that she's changed her ringtone to the birthday song.
Wait, the roommate changed her ringtone to the birthday song?
The roommate changed the ringtone.
Yeah. Oh, the roommate changed the
yeah.
ringtone?
Yeah, she said.
How many times have you seen this movie?
Yeah, Mikey.
Why they call her Tree?
I feel like I can't be mean to Mikey anymore.
I know.
I've used up my mean Mikey quotient. I'm
like, there's
episode.
Like a tear running down my cheek right now.
Like, your freedom shirt is just sopping wet.
I love America. Okay, so her roommate changed her ringtone?
Yes.
Her roommate changed her ringtone.
Because her dad yeah. periodically calls throughout the film.
Yes, trying to get in touch with her on her birthday. Yeah.
Well, they're supposed to have lunch, I think.
Yeah, birthday
And
lunch.
She keeps standing him up. At night, every scene where she's walking down to the quad or whatever at mm-hmm. night and she's on the phone, she's checking a voicemail from her dad and her dad's like, I waited at the restaurant for like an hour or yeah. whatever. So that's like that whole thing. And then eventually, right. you know, it all plays off. We'll get there.
We'll get there, yeah. So the roommate gives her this cupcake and yes. she's about to eat it. And then she says,
no, she doesn't even try and eat it. She blows the candle out and then throws it away immediately. Yeah,
this sorority has banned cupcakes.
Yeah,
they banned cupcakes so long ago, they don't even know what a cupcake is. What even are cupcakes?
So then she goes to sexy teacher class. And
you thought he was sexy?
I mean, I don't particularly.
Well, he had a foreign accent, right?
He did, yeah. And he's a doctor teacher, so yeah. Dreamboat.
The bed, team bed.
Team bed, team chairs. I like this. Yeah,
yeah. Team bed's getting a little hot over there about the doctor.
I think he was intended to be a good looking guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The accent bumps you up a little bit, too.
Oh, does it?
On the hot. Who does it? Sometimes it does.
Good day, mate.
Yeah, that's going to be a negative point for team chair.
Okay. But after that classroom scene, they go to his office and they start making out or whatever. Then that teacher's wife shows up.
But first we see she goes to the hospital to make out with him in his office because his office is in the hospital.
Oh, that's right.
I think what this hospital is connected also to a medical center. Right, right. So he's teaching probably medical classes while also being a practicing doctor, which is why the nursing student is on the floor and also yeah. living as part of the sorority.
And wants the doctor.
It's
the details are a little silly in the movie, but that's not the point.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. But she is having an affair with the doctor.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, and she's kind of a Tree's not a good person.
She's not.
No,
great.
She's a bad person.
And almost gets caught immediately by the wife.
And so here's the thing too, because everybody she interacts with is mean to her, and but it doesn't seem out of place because she's just kind of awful, except for nice Carter guy at the beginning. But yeah, she's like the bitchy sisters. Maybe they're just
she's like making out with everybody's boyfriend, sleeping with the professor, and then she's like really mean to like basically everyone she meets.
Yes. So Carter, she's like, no, but never speak of this again. I'm an apprentice and I don't know you. And he's kind of dreamy, so I don't understand that. But anyways, I guess he's beneath her sorority status.
Yeah, he just seems like a normal college guy. He's not like a frat dude or like a football star or whatever. He's just a normal
guy. Just there to get a degree.
He's the only one nice to minorities in the whole film.
He is. Yes.
Well, he doesn't let his Asian roommate come in, remember?
That's true,
this movie is problematic, man.
I'm sorry, no one's nice to minorities in this whole film.
That's true. So then the wife walks in.
Doesn't walk in, she knocks on the door because the door is locked. Mm-hmm. Dr. Hunk unlocks the door and lets her in.
And it's not suspicious at all.
No, not at all.
Have you met my student?
Oh, I'm sorry, the door got stuck.
Okay, so then we go back to the sorority house.
No, the breakfast.
It's lunch, Mikey.
Oh, did I forget about breakfast? Shame.
This is where they shame the minority.
It's like
the
one. We have to reenact this.
Yeah, so they go to the breakfast meeting.
Mikey, it's not breakfast.
They talk about breakfast.
Yeah, she says, breakfast.
Yes, okay.
Oh. How many times have you seen this movie?
Mikey missed the breakfast part of the plot. So.
It's the most important meal of the day.
It is.
Okay, so in this scene.
So Mikey, take it.
They're having a house meeting. Mm-hmm. Danielle.
Yes, just out in the quad, like at their table.
Yeah, at the coffee shop.
Nobody's eating. Everybody's got their giant smoothies.
Yeah, their iced coffees. So Becky, the...
So somebody comes and sits down with a tray with a salad and a chocolate milk on it.
Yes, and then Danielle stops the meeting and goes, is that a chocolate milk? Kappas don't drink chocolate milk.
At first, this is the first time you've seen this person.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And she happens to be black.
She's a person of color.
And she sits down and then Danielle goes, what are you doing? Yeah. And I was like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. This is definitely in the South.
It wasn't Louisiana.
I thought she was in the sorority. So then, Becky goes, I didn't eat breakfast, Danielle. And she goes, none of us eat breakfast, Becky.
What even is breakfast, Becky?
It's really funny.
And this is the first time I really laughed when I was watching this movie. I was like, oh, this movie might actually be funny.
So I was a little nervous up to this point. Nothing scary had happened yet. That's usually how it starts out. And then shit hits the fan and I go insane.
Glad you're learning movies.
Yeah. But at this point, I was like, oh, this is like Tremors. This is a comedy.
Right. It is a horror comedy.
And there were some jumpy moments, but it was not bad.
Well, but here's what's interesting about this scene, because I do think it's a really funny scene. But to make this character stand out, because this is the only character of color in the sorority at all, and for them to all point at her
and the killer.
Yeah, maybe. The killer may be a little ethnically diverse.
A little ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah.
Which is a decent podcast, guys. Check it out. Yeah, ethnically ambiguous.
Oh, I think I've heard of that, yeah. But anyways, yeah, it does stand out, and I wondered about that choice to make that character a character of color and also shame her for something that's unclear for the first few minutes, because it does seem real.
Yeah, she sort of calls her fat, and she's not at all fat.
She's not. And that's when I started questioning whether I want my daughter to go to college and be in a sorority.
So curly head Carter runs into breakfast Becky, and it waters Tree, as Mikey said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Tree like pops up, starts to clean herself up, and Carter's like apologizing.
Yeah.
And then
Danielle's, know this piece of trash boy? Danielle, he's not on the list that you can.
He's wearing flannel.
Yeah.
How dare you?
What is this, 91 Seattle? Yeah. So, but Danielle questions, do you guys know each other? And they say yes and no. Obviously, Carter's like, yeah, I tap that.
Oh, we had a class together. No.
He immediately knows that this is a bad situation. Yeah. He says, you know, we had a class together. And she says no.
But he's got her leave behind bracelet that he did not give back to her. So he had an excuse.
You think he stole that bracelet?
I don't know if it's his responsibility to have remembered that she left that at his place.
He doesn't know she left.
I think
he is a good dude, Jim.
Think about this.
Hey, I'm not saying
after
that's a
this
thing.
Moment, she intentionally leaves the bracelet every other reliving of the day.
Maybe she just forgets because she's got a lot on her.
Well, the first couple of days.
It's the leave behind.
You think she leaves it on purpose, or he stole it?
A person leaves it behind on purpose.
Yeah. You're saying he stole it to see her again.
No, insinuating that.
I'm saying.
I don't think you know what a leave behind is.
I know. Oh, I know what a leave behind is.
Oh, I bet you do.
No, what I'm saying is he saw that she did not remember the bracelet and didn't say anything to her as she was leaving.
I don't think when the camera showed the bracelet that it was him seeing the bracelet.
Well, that's debatable.
Well, the whole movie is from her perspective. Yeah, you're insinuating that one shot is from his perspective.
And then she relives the day like 30 times. She leaves the bracelet every time.
Well, yeah, because part of her knows that she's in love with this guy.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a sweet notion.
Heart-to-heart connection. Aww.
But yeah. She gets her bracelet back and is not very thankful for it.
No, she's still, it's day one. She's still
like,
a bitch.
How dare you?
How dare you let me forget my bracelet at your place?
Right.
She pulls a Jen.
Yeah. That's how I got this guy.
Did she do a leave behind?
Oh my God, that's how you know she's the one?
She kept leaving things at my house.
Here's to answer your earlier question. So this was like our third date probably. And I lived in a different city within driving distance. Yeah. She's coming to my apartment and I'm going to cook dinner or something. I can't remember.
Aww.
And so we're texting like back and forth, like she's on her way or whatever. And then I get this text from her that says, "Ugh. This new guy lives in Smyrna."
Wow.
I love this story.
So we had an interesting conversation.
I love that you didn't text her back. You wait till she gets there.
I think I realized that I had done that before.
I'm surprised
I got
you
there.
Even showed up because that was literally like our third date, man.
I'm surprised you even showed up. Oh, God. Man,
it was so early in the relationship that she just ghosted me.
Right. It's almost Valentine's Day. I'm trying to like bring a romantic element into the episode.
So I'm confused as to how that text let you know that she was the one.
I'm kind of confused about that too.
The fact that we actually made it through that. Yeah.
Honestly, that's really important to the longevity of a relationship.
That's true.
Can we get through awkwardness and shitty fights and like still make it through?
It was
that's
funny.
True. Yeah.
That's really funny.
It's one of our stories.
So. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, where were we?
Yeah. So then we go back to the sorority house and we see me and Danielle and the lights flicker because of their tuition dollars.
Our tuition dollars at work. Because you know all those rolling blackouts that happen in Louisiana.
I know. Yeah. All right. So then we go to the birthday tunnel. So she's walking across.
Is that just a vagina?
Oh, my God. It sort of is.
She's not walking down a vagina. She's walking across campus and she gets to a tunnel.
Corey, you can laugh at the mic. You can make me seem funny.
Birthday tunnel, vagina. I mean, that was good.
Corey turns away from his mic to laugh.
That was good.
I don't think he wants to be on the record as laughing at that joke. I understand.
It was clever. It was good.
Mikey he's got a reputation, Mikey. All right. So she is walking down the vagina.
And then we see this tunnel. Like it's like a tunnel going under a sidewalk on campus. And there's like cones and flickering
lights. It's like
lights.
They're doing road work on the sidewalk.
Like animals. Yeah. And then there's a birthday music box playing just in the middle of the sidewalk with nobody around it. So
what's
like,
on the music box? It's like a ballerina.
Happy birthday. Oh, I think it's like two. It almost looks like two babies, like or cherub children or something. We don't get a good look.
That makes sense because we didn't tell you guys the mascot for the college is a baby.
Yeah, which go baby go. Weird.
No, yeah, is weird.
They were the Indians, but they had to change.
And it's a weird
that was the
baby.
Only thing that wasn't taken.
Or Ole Miss has had a big problem with this because they were the Rebels and they've changed to the Land Sharks.
What?
Are they seriously
Land
Sharks?
Ole Miss is still the Rebels. No,
they're not officially the Rebels anymore. They won't let Colonel Reb on campus.
Oh, he's just like at the gate banging.
They changed their mascot, so maybe that's what happened to this school. Now they just picked Baby.
But Babies is a terrible mascot for a school because babies don't fight you.
This comes back because the killer wears a baby mask.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And that's when the baby face mask killer appears behind her wearing the baby mask and a black hoodie and everything else all black and then chases her and stabs her and she dies.
It's like right there under that underpass area.
Yeah, and she runs a little bit. It's kind of a chase scene, but she dies pretty quickly.
I actually like the scene because there's a lot of depth and the lights look cool. The whole movie's lit and such. It's a very bright movie, so it's not very scary.
And there's not much gore. They don't show her actually getting killed. She just wakes
at
up.
At all, like, yeah.
You know, right, as soon as there's
this movie
death.
Does have some intense parts, but you're right. There's not a lot of blood.
Yeah. It was originally intended to be an R-rated movie, and they were going to show a lot of the more grisly, like showing the actual impact of the kills, but they changed it to PG-13 and cut some of it out. I'm not exactly sure why.
I bet this movie would be pretty cool as R-rated. But
I bet it would too, but I bet they probably made more money.
I bet they made a lot
more. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
And it's still an enjoyable movie without all of the gore and the death scenes. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think it takes
I'll
away.
I'll argue that I liked it a lot more because there was none of that stuff in it. Yeah. And the jump scares were mild at best.
Right, because there's a lot of death scenes in this movie, and so that would have been a lot
of humorous.
So then she wakes up in the nice guy apartment again.
And this is going to repeat over and over and over for a while.
So that's the first death.
But
for like the first four deaths, she's still a bitch. She's still
pretty awful. Oh, and in this one, she's in denial.
Yes, just kind of slowly trying to figure it out. So she's kind of going through the same day, but she's not quite as mean because she's kind of like, what's going on? Like, she just seems
disoriented. She's still super mean. She's just a little confused.
She's just not as loud about being mean. Yeah. So then she goes to see the doctor and she's telling him, like, I've been having deja vu. And this is when the doctor tells her not to fall in love.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm not falling in love. And he goes,
no.
Oh, well, me neither. Awkward. I wasn't either. Or it's whatever. And then she's like, your wife is coming. Oh, that's like a huge buzzkill.
Right.
Yeah, it just shows that like, she's not the only bad person in this film.
No. Well, we've already seen Danielle, too.
Well, so. I think were they commenting on men at that point? Because in the first episode, the first time she went to his office, like he was giving her the pushback.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And eventually, you know, cave in.
Yeah.
And then this time she was resisting and he.
Maybe that's more what he's going for. I don't think it's a very healthy relationship.
No, he's married to somebody else. Exactly. It's definitely not a healthy relationship.
And she's his student. Too.
Her professor. Yeah. There's like a couple of.
There's lots of reasons this is not a good idea.
The power dynamic. Thank you, Court. Yeah.
And the roommate at the beginning has said, I don't think this is a good relationship that you're in, before we even find out she's having an affair, because we ran into the roommate at the hospital and she's like, I think you should end this. I don't think this is going to turn out very well.
Right.
Which I thought was a good thing for the roommate to be saying at first. And then we find out why she was saying it.
Yeah.
This is not even her only relationship. She's also hooking up with the head sorority girl's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Hooking up or making out with. And they're not.
They go to
girlfriend.
You know where they go.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're about to get there. So we find out that we're.
Oh, my God. I hate it that I almost called this perfectly. So pretty much all the day happens the same way,
except for
the doctor scene's a little bit different.
We see a little bit more about the mom because we see her watching a video of her blowing out the candle with her mom.
Oh, yeah, because the roommate's like, I know this day's hard for you.
That's
because
when we figure out she and her
mom
have the same birthday. And we imagine the mom is dead.
And when she walks down to the tunnel with the music box, she just runs away from it and goes to the sorority house. Or, sorry,
the fraternity
party.
And we find out that it's a surprise birthday party for her.
But not before
she's punched a baby in the face.
Yeah, because they open the door and there's the baby right there. And it's Danielle's curly head crush.
Yeah.
Not crush. Carter.
I like it.
But it's Curly Crush, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know his real name. But he's wearing the killer outfit because it's more or less just a hoodie, jeans, and that mascot face.
Right.
So she punches him in the face and he falls down or whatever. And then the party starts and then
It's not the guy from the dorm room. Are you saying this guy from the dorm room?
No, no, no. Curly Crush is the one that Danielle wants to sleep with.
It was Carter long. Is the one from the
I thought it was long haired.
It's wavy. It's wavy.
Yeah. And we also learned this is the guy that Danielle likes and she's just kind of in her face about it.
Dude, it's so funny to me.
Together immediately.
Yeah. When Tree and Danielle are talking to Curly Haired Crush, not Carter, but Curly Haired Crush, Mikey. And he is just straight up talking to Tree and Danielle is like, like trying to like get in the conversation. I'm like, I hate when people do that.
Thought in the previous day, the roommate says you made out with Danielle's boyfriend in front of her.
Yeah.
So they have a relationship status.
Kind of.
But right in front of Danielle, he tells her, you can pay me back later and give me this wink. So I don't think they're really in a relationship. I think.
Yeah, maybe
it's ambiguous.
Unless they're real open about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Danielle didn't seem cool with that.
Yeah, she's not cool. And so then Tree goes up to his room and she's
looking
around.
Oh, is it his room? Yeah. Is it his room or is it his pleasure dome?
Oh my God.
Yeah, so this guy, she comes upstairs and this guy's like, Alexa, pleasure dome.
Pleasure dome.
Pleasure dome activated, master.
House music plays, strobe lights, colored lights.
Lasers?
Lasers.
What's happening in this room?
He starts doing some kind of dance.
He starts doing the worst impression of a rave college student. Like, I've never seen anyone dance so poorly in my life.
I love this scene.
And she's just quickly losing.
She turns around and starts texting somebody as the actual baby murderer comes in and murders Curly Haired Crush.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually filmed really funny, too, because she's like texting. She's like, oh my God, this guy's a loser.
Yeah.
And he's getting murdered behind her.
She turns around and thinks that that is still
right.
The
curly,
safe guy.
Curly weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And then the babyface killer kills her. This is when she gets killed with the bong.
Well, yeah. They do fight over curly headed crush's room. Yeah. Babyface murderer breaks the bong and then stabs her with the sharp pointy end of it.
Yes. Yeah. And so,
which is funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
And then that's day two. Then she wakes up and she goes and tells her roommate everything, and the roommate doesn't believe her. And
yeah, like, she runs straight out of the dorm
through all of the obstacle course of the things on the quad field. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I had a very big problem with, because if she left right away, everything would be a little bit later.
It's because
right.
It's called, yeah, the.
I agree with you, Todd. That's, yeah, that's
called
annoying.
The suspension of disbelief.
It is. Yeah.
It's required for movies.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So let's let it go.
I mean, we all know that when you die, you get to live that day over until you're not dead anymore at the end of it. But
yeah, it's called.
No, I get
I found
it.
This part hard to believe.
No, yeah. I get it, because any scene where they're in the hospital and the lights are off, I'm like, the hospital keeps the lights on in the halls and at the nurse's station, yeah, at all times.
And there's never a hospital with not with less than like 10 people.
Yeah, there are laws that govern ratios, since our moms do that stuff. We
that's
know.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our moms are both fantastic.
Staff ratios.
Maybe when there's a serial killer on the floor, they make exceptions, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, we have a serial killer. Shut off the lights.
Alexa, serial killer lighting.
It's all that rolling blackout, you know. Anyway, so then we find out she and her mom have the same birthday. I think we find that officially. This is when she boards up the windows.
Yeah, on this day, she pretty much stays in all day.
She does. The roommate's like, just cancel your classes. Just stay here and rest, because you have a giant hangover, too.
Oh, I think this is when we learn about the mom. She's like, I know this day is hard because your mom, you should skip class and just stay in and rest.
Right, right.
That's true, yeah.
And so she takes that time to board up her windows, but not check the bathroom, because somehow the babyface killer.
She had to have
in.
Checked the bathroom.
Although the babyface killer lives in that room too.
Yes.
Spoiler. So has every right to be in there. So maybe she just said she had to go to the bathroom and then put her babyface killer mask on and then came out and killed her. But I don't know. The babyface killer somehow appears miraculously in there, because Todd said, how'd she get in there? And I said, well, how's she reliving the same day over and over again? You just have to let some things go.
Yeah. So the only reason I have a problem with that is because she boards at the windows and puts their dresser in front of the door so that no one could enter that room without breaking something in, right?
Like all day too.
Like, yeah, like yeah. She was in that room locked in it like that for like 9 hours.
Okay, so
yeah.
That actually does bother me now that we're talking about
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Slasher magic.
I mean, but again, I don't care that much, because it is just it's a comedy.
You know she's going to die. And then babyface killer kills her, stabs her this time.
Well, this time they fight.
Yeah, she's got a hammer and she's fighting
the baby. She hits
that.
That guy should have been dead with that hammer hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the mask is padded. I mean, maybe she is fucked up. We don't see what happens after this fight. Maybe she does
I'm just
die.
Picturing you in like some sort of jousting event and you're like, I've got my hoodie on. Don't worry about it.
I'm fine, guys. Yeah, it works.
It's padded.
Yeah,
it's whatever.
But I mean, we don't ever see what happens after Tree
that
dies.
That is a good point. Because
so maybe
if
she dies
Tree,
too.
Yeah, if Tree dies, it doesn't matter if the other chick dies. It all resets. So she may have been beaten to the temple where her brain's bleeding, but she was able to kill Tree, so the day resets.
Right. Okay. And this is when she runs and screams out, and Carter follows her this time and takes her to breakfast and immediately believes this story.
This is where they hatch a plan. Yeah, yeah, of course you believe the story, because whenever a hot chick is telling you something, you're like, tell me more, because I want to know how to sleep.
Yeah, they're exactly. You know, they're getting breakfast, and he's like, okay, so you relive every day and get murdered, and he's like, okay, yeah, I'm down with
that. I'll help you with this. Yeah, yeah. We need to spend a lot of time.
What are your other hobbies? Yeah. I want to connect with you.
Yeah.
You don't live in Smyrna, do you?
I mean, they end up together too.
Yeah.
Smyrna's bringing people together. This is also when we realize that they didn't actually hook up.
Yeah, because it's like, we didn't sleep together. Yeah. I slept in my roommate's bed because you were in a bad way.
Yeah, and I'm
she's
a
like,
gentleman.
What? We didn't hook up? But he helps her make a plan. And he's like, oh, you have to solve your own murder. That's why you're reliving the day.
Yeah. And then we start off our musical montage by her throwing a bunch of shit out of her window just so she can write something on top of her desk.
Like she's never heard of a trash can.
Exactly. Or has a clean desk.
I feel like we should give her some space. She's been murdered three times. And I would throw some shit out the window.
That's fair.
She has not had time to clean her desk off because of all the murdering.
You just put so much pressure on women, Jen.
Yeah, so then we get the murder solving montage where she's writing in big red Sharpie. Like, that's not going to bleed over into the next three pages.
What is wrong with you, Jen?
What are we talking about
oh
here?
Oh, my God.
It just drives me crazy when people write in Sharpie.
My problem with the list is if the day resets, your list should only be one name a day.
That's true.
So my problem was that the first time she does it, I can't remember the first person she like investigates or whatever. She crosses it out after the first one,
right? I
think
it was Tim. That's when we find out he likes
gay. I think Tim was the second one.
So how does him being gay eliminate him as a suspect? Because
he got killed while she was watching him.
She's watching him watch gay porn, and then she gets killed by Babyface. So
it couldn't be him.
Yeah.
That's honestly how I knew the doctor wasn't the bad guy, because the doctor gets murdered in that scene.
Exactly.
Yeah. When she finds out he is gay, she's like, oh, it all makes sense why he would take me to Subway. So Danielle's on the list of suspects, and earlier she gets when she's threw shit off her desk out the window, she finds a birthday card that's like a threat.
It's your birthday, bitch.
And so her and Danielle are walking the next day after the
Jesus
after Tim's elimination.
That's one of those. You open it up and that's what.
Guys, if you would like your very own happy birthday bitch card from Jen.
Wow.
We will start making those. Check the merch store.
You open it up and the audio just says that.
Happy birthday, bitch.
There you go.
Nailed it.
There it is.
She finds the bitchy birthday card, and when they're walking with Danielle, Danielle drops her stuff and she sees the card. And this is really funny. This is one of Corey's favorite scenes. Because
they start immediately fighting, roll into the street and look up, and a bus just runs them over.
Yeah, she's on top of her, punching her in the
face. They get Meet Joe Blacked. It's hilarious.
And then the next thing you see, she's crossing her name off the list.
Haven't seen that movie.
There's dozens of us.
You know what I'm talking about, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, so then Danielle is eliminated. And then we
have Tim. We find out Tim is gay, which we already sort of touched on.
Yeah.
And she gets murdered outside his window, so we know it's not Tim. Mm-hmm.
That was before
I can't
Danielle,
remember the third person.
I don't remember, but we have the naked walk across campus now.
Yeah, the confident walk across campus.
Yes, and this is kind of the scene in Groundhog's Day when he's like, keeps trying to kill himself over and over again. Yeah, and he grabs the toaster and throws it into the... Yeah.
This is definitely like he's losing his mind in Groundhog Day, but it's her doing it. I did love how when she's walking naked across campus, Mikey's like, well, I hope she doesn't solve it today, because then she has to live with the repercussions of her walking naked across campus.
Exactly, that would be my look. Like, I'd be like waving my dong at somebody, and then I'd be like, oh my God, I know who the murderer is, and it would be like arrested for public indecency.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be helicoptering, and there'd be this like this lightning bolt. I'd be like,
is that a flame copter?
Yeah, but antibiotics took care of it.
Because it burned when he pees.
Do you get it, Jim?
Oh, Mikey. Okay, so then she gets hit by the last death of the montage. She gets smacked in the with a baseball bat.
This is a cool shot. She gets smacked with the baseball bat and then falls her head onto the pillow, and it's all like one fluid shot.
What was she trying to do that day?
She accidentally kills somebody with a baseball bat. Just a random.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But anyway, yeah, she accidentally kills someone in trying to figure out who her murderer is.
And then in doing
is.
So, drops the bat. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Are you okay? And the murderer picks up the bat and hits her. And that's when she falls onto the pillow and then wakes up.
Every morning, the nice guy's roommate comes in and he goes, where's that fine vagina? We hear that 20 times.
We do. It's classy every time.
He says it, she passes out in his arms.
You're right. Yeah.
And he's like, Carter.
It worked.
I met this actor who's only in the movie for about 5 minutes. Is like super, because he's like a main character in the next one.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, yes.
Yeah, right.
He's like, that movie made money.
I accidentally.
They're making a sequel? Yeah. I did it.
And then he thought back to all the lines he said in the first movie, and he was like, oh,
that's a five vagina.
I didn't get to redeem my character at all.
That's for the next
movie.
That's
what the sequel's for. Yeah. So then she wakes up in the hospital, and we see Babyface Killer coming up to her, but then it's like her vision clears, and it's actually Carter who's checking on her. But then Dr. Dreamhunk shows up right behind him and accents this guy out of there.
Creepily, kind of.
Creepily acts.
So visiting hours are over.
Yeah, I mean, get to the chopper.
No, zero visitors.
Is he the count, or is he? We're mixing our accents here.
He's Arnold Schwarzenegger playing the count.
Coming this summer.
I killed one person. Two people.
In a world, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the count. Oh, wow.
So she starts to think the doctor might actually be the killer, or she just wants to get out of there because she's worried the baby face killer is going to come get her.
No, because the doctor goes, I had trouble with your medical records finding out what was wrong with you, yeah. because if you look at this, it looks like you suffered extreme trauma.
Yeah, you should be dead.
You should be dead. So much trauma.
And that's weird because that never comes back in the rest of the movie.
Yes, she does.
Well, she says she's getting weaker. So she's
this is when you should use your phrase.
A ticking x-ray clock.
But it's actually a ticking time bomb because she's getting like weaker that, each day.
I like saying ticking clock. A ticking calendar.
Ticking clock is not the phrase.
But a ticking clock
and calendars don't tick.
At the end. Of
Thank
it.
You, Corey. Please, is the phrase ticking clock or ticking oh, yeah, time
I've
bomb?
I've heard of someone
Corey,
saying a
ticking
clock.
Think carefully about your answer. But,
yeah. Corey, tell me what you told me earlier.
Yeah, I'm going to have to side with ticking clock on this one.
Nice.
Yes. No, wait, no.
Woo, team bed.
No, it's ticking time bomb.
Yes.
We all know that.
He's just been playing along all these years. Welcome to
Smitty. I just want everyone to know that Corey agrees with me and it's ticking time bomb.
It is. Yes.
I don't care. I'm going to say ticking calendar now.
Oh, so. God.
But the point of this is to know that she can't just keep living the same day over and over again endlessly. There's pressure on her to solve this murder.
So this makes this movie different than Groundhog's Day.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because there are subtle repercussions for her actions.
And she's getting murdered every day instead of just going to sleep.
But seriously, who doesn't immediately the next morning just wake up, get in your car, and drive 500 miles away?
Okay, so
no,
then,
she does it from this scene because she's got the hospital gown on.
And she tells the doctor to go get her a Pepsi. And then she goes and ransacks.
I think she says soda.
Sorry, I don't remember.
Pepsi? Who drinks Pepsi?
But she's trying to find his keys in his doctor desk. And that's when we see the baby face mask in the doctor desk.
Right.
Which everybody keeps in their desk at work, right?
Well, he does like them young.
Wow.
Maybe he makes his wife wear it.
Wow.
I mean, he's sleeping with a student.
I stand by that joke.
Maybe more than one student. I mean, he may be sleeping with the five head. We don't know.
So she thinks the doctor is the killer.
Yes, but very quickly realizes that he's not because babyface killer kills the doctor, which if you're thinking, if you watch this again, we know that the roommate who is in love with the doctor is actually the killer. Then the roommate who's in love with the doctor just killed the doctor.
But it could be the serial killer who is also on the loose. Possibly. And also
That's
has a
true.
Mask. She put a mask on him. So it could have been the serial killer.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Okay, so then we have the parking lot.
No, I do think the serial killer kills her at one point because there's different body types for the baby face
That's
killer.
Yes.
That's true.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm still having fun.
So then we have the parking lot chase scene where she's running through all of the cars in her hospital gown and she's hiding from killer. And then she presses the little button and she gets to the doctor car. But then the baby face killer gets to her and busts the window.
Yeah, punches the window out. And it's trying to stab her, but she backs out, backs into another car, and then drives away.
Right.
And then she gets away.
She does get away.
She's like screaming, like, yeah, I got away.
Woo, woo. Yeah.
But had a chance to run
That's
over.
That's the sound of the police.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that?
No, she tried. He got out of the way of the
car.
Yeah,
we don't see for sure that she had a chance to run over him.
No, she floors it at him, and then he jumps out of the way.
Did it? Oh, I missed that.
So she gets away, and then she gets pulled over by the cops because she's driving a car that's all jacked up on the back. And this law enforcement is not.
It's so bad.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a girl who's clearly in a hospital gown, and she's saying, someone's trying to kill me, and she's in a stolen car. With damage to the car, yeah. And he's asking her if she's drunk or high.
Well, at first she says, this guy's trying to kill me again. Her story doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a hospital gown with a bracelet on, without any like pants or shoes or socks. And then he's just not been trained well on how to recognize the symptoms of mental illness.
Someone in distress.
Yeah.
But I mean, he doesn't try to arrest her.
He does. He goes, how much have you been drinking tonight?
I think that might be a legitimate question to ask.
Well, the hospital is a mile down the road and she's got the bracelet and the gown on. He's probably like, this person has something wrong with them medically.
Right.
Then she starts thinking, if he throws me in jail, I'll be safe.
Yeah. So she's thinking, okay, so I want to get arrested. She says, I've had a lot to drink and I'm on drugs and everything too. So then she gets handcuffed and put in the back of the car. And that's when cop gets plowed over by babyface car.
Yeah, he gets run over by like a Dodge Charger. Yeah.
Right.
It's a cool looking killer car.
It is a killer car.
This episode brought to you by Dodge Charger.
If you want a car that kills people, go Dodge Charger.
Or just don't.
I mean, if you want to kill people with a car, the car's not actually killing them. You're killing them by driving it.
I think we just
don't kill people, Mikey. We get it.
His favorite car of all time was a Dodge Charger. The General Lee, right? From Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh my God.
I wear one 4th of July t-shirt and it's like,
It's January, Mike.
It's a comfy shirt. I am in my pajamas. I have not showered, and I can't judging.
So then cop gets plowed over. It is kind of cool. I like
cop gets plowed over, and Babyface Killa walks up to the window because she's in the back.
Yeah.
And so she's yelling through the window, why are you doing this? Who are you? Yeah. Show me your face, you pussy, or whatever. Yeah. And then he like waves or whatever.
The killer walks back to the car. You're like, what's going on? Is she going to let her live?
Oh, the candles
time?
Once he rolls down the window, or she rolls down the window.
And then drops it.
And
she's a
birthday candle. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the first clue.
Clue number one. Yeah. So she drops the birthday candle.
That's when I knew who it was.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So she drops the birthday candle and it lights a trail of fire that blows up the car. So that's her next death. Okay. Then she wakes up and she takes all of the pills and she takes way too many pills, but she does it correctly because she puts the pills in her mouth.
I hate you guys so much.
Yeah. Yeah. She takes the whole bottle of Tylenol, pours it in her mouth. And then Todd made a comment.
Yeah.
And then me and Jim.
I didn't make a comment. You guys started shaming me for the way I take pills. And I'll point out that most people who have responded on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram have been water first people, and I'm here for it, guys.
Do you know why they responded?
They also felt called out?
Yeah, because they are very defensive that they are different. Because
they're also just now learning that they've been doing a weird thing. I think that's probably around the amount of people who comment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She has 40 Tylenol in her mouth and then ask for water because that's how you take pills.
You guys are monsters.
Do not take 40 Tylenol.
And you can tell when she starts to become a good person because she's not putting on that sparkly tank top anymore. She's
wearing his shirt.
On.
Yeah.
She's done that a couple of times, but this is the first time she's wearing that t-shirt and not like running out of the house in it. So yeah, so they go to have breakfast or something and she tells Carter the story and she says she starts to get to know him a little bit, talks about her mom and the birthday tradition. And then she says, I'm not a good person. So she's starting to kind of see things a little more clearly.
They go to the diner. She sees the news thing. Mm-hmm. She goes straight to the hospital.
Yeah, I think she leaves him there. Remember, she leaves the diner and he's like, what?
She's like, that's it. Aha. And then she goes there, breaks the axe because the officer is not at his post.
That's right.
She goes
the
in.
The officer's already dead.
He's dead.
And then she's inside with the axe. The babyface killer, they struggle. Mm-hmm. And then he has a gun. And then Carter tackles him.
Yeah. And then he kills Carter.
Yeah, he breaks his neck.
Yeah, it's sad.
The murderer kills Carter.
Yes.
And then she sort of has a chance to kill him as she go into the bell tower.
Yeah. And she
has the revelation that if he kills him and that's the end of it,
Carter's dead
forever.
So she then goes to gang herself.
Mm-hmm. Carter's broken neck breaks her heart.
Oh, aww. It does. Yeah.
Or does it make her heart go three sizes?
It
three
does. Sizes. So then she does hang herself from the bell tower.
Yes.
And we said, what if it's just that it starts over when she gets murdered and not
when she commits suicide.
Big risk.
It really
so
is
she,
a big
she
risk.
She kills herself. Credits.
There's a lot of adrenaline.
Oh,
that would
shit.
Be a dark movie.
Yeah.
That's a lot of adrenaline. I mean, who's gonna think that through? Carter just got murdered, and she like the first person she's had feelings. She's
her
feeling all the feels.
Her heart's not finished growing three sizes.
It's the Romeo
yet.
And Juliet moment. I get it.
It is.
But with a serial killer.
So then, but they both end up dead. So then
the serial killer does not die in that scene.
No, you're right. Because he's chasing her up the hall and she says, see you later, serial killer. Because now I know. Yeah. So then she wakes up and this is when she's happy and nice. And
she hugs him right
she
off.
She honestly treats him from like halfway through the movie. She starts to slowly treat him like their boyfriend and girlfriend. And he's sort of in the morning like, what is happening?
She's really needy.
Yeah, this chick is real clingy. I don't know. I'm probably going to ghost her shortly after the new year.
Maybe that's what happens in the sequel.
God.
Not in it.
No, she wakes up and hugs him.
Yeah, she takes his pillow. She walks by. She gives the creepy leer guy with the glasses a look.
Well, she stops and she says, you saved me.
She takes his glasses, actually. And puts
does she take them? Oh, that's right. Puts them on herself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she commits theft and then continues
and then
with her
signs
day.
The petition.
She does.
Go save that world, girl.
She
tells the couple to move from the sprinkler.
Yeah.
She runs over to the guy who keeps passing out every morning and she puts the pillow there.
Yeah.
And winks at the guys and then walks away and then goes up to Tim and goes, I know you're gay.
Yeah.
Love is love, man.
You go get yours.
Yeah, you go get your fine male butt or whatever she said. It was a weird.
Oh, no. And first, she also tells the roommate who keeps calling her fine vagina, don't talk to women that way.
Does she spank him?
She does spank him. Yeah.
Relationship with your hand or something.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a Christmas Carol moment. another.
Todd and I both wanted to say stuff, but we didn't.
Yeah,
because we're growing.
Gross.
We've lived this podcast 3 times.
Yeah, they're not wearing your sparkly tank tops anymore. Now you're nice to everyone. So then she talks and she's nice to her roommate and taunts and she says, let me explain to you what bangs are.
Yeah. Cause she's like helping everybody, right? She's like going through helping everyone in the college town or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she sits down and goes, and then the only thing I could think was, let me show you what bangs are.
Exactly.
Because like that, I thought she was going to help her.
Maybe if she had bangs, that Australian teacher would hit on her.
Maybe.
What does she actually help her with there?
I don't know, because I was laughing so hard at your bangs joke. So I don't know. I'm sure she probably just said, I'm not nice. I'm going to be nicer. And tell me about this mystery guy you've been talking
about.
Oh,
yeah. That was the doctor, though.
But then she still doesn't eat the cupcake.
No.
Yeah, she doesn't eat. There are lots of times where the roommate's given her a cupcake.
Isn't this where she saves the cupcake?
Yes, this is where she saves the cupcake. She's like, I'm not hungry right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we go to lunch. And this is funny, too, because Breakfast Becky has sat down with her plate of salad and milk. And is about to get shamed for it.
But
and
this
then,
time, Tree is not there.
Tree shows up with her tray full of fries and like moon pies and just.
It is a hot dog. I saw the tray. It was a hot dog.
It's like everything Little Debbie makes.
Yeah, hot dog, fries, and something else like dessert with, stuff.
Like, it was chili. Like Mikey last night at that Burger Shack.
I wasn't going to say it because I've been really mean to Mikey, but yes, it was exactly like that.
I'm on vacation. And that lady said, those fries are good with chili and cheese on it. And I believe her and they
she
were.
She was right. Yeah. I had some. They were delicious.
Oh, and then she dumps the chocolate milk onto Danielle's head.
In the longest walk over to dump
I know,
somebody
like, else. So then, yeah, she dumps the milk on her head and then she kisses the guy.
Yeah.
Nice Carter.
Which sort of took me by surprise. I liked it, but it took me by surprise.
Probably took him by surprise.
Oh, it did, because he was like, what is happening?
Right.
I didn't know this chick really.
But he was
he
like.
He didn't really like her. He just wanted
and
to.
And that was
like,
Carter's first kiss and I was really happy about it.
Aww. Yeah.
So she kisses Carter and then Carter's like, I'm into Tim.
Right. Yeah, I really like Tim.
No.
And then Tim walks up behind him and puts his arm around Carter and
I
was like,
no, I hate this movie. No. I don't like your jib cut.
Yeah, Tim finally got up the guts to ask Carter out on a date, and then Tree just
no. Come on,
him.
Carter's really nice, and then like
no, I'm just
nice.
Joking.
It took 20 nice. Days of her he testing is. Him, and the, everything he does is nice to her.
I know.
Yeah.
And then she asks him to lunch later, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't that seem a little too desperate, though? Like,
oh, he was desperate. I'm not saying that, but he was nice.
Okay. She's nice. Way out of Carter's league.
Yeah, he's dating up, which is what you want
to
do.
Yeah.
You have to show them how nice you are to date up. Anyways. So
it's a rule.
I didn't make them.
It's called being funny or being nice. You got to do both of them if you're going to date up.
Yeah, if you can make a girl laugh, you can make a girl do anything.
Yeah, I got to do that and I can eat the chili cheese fries.
I think you do that or you eat the chili cheese fries.
We all miss chili cheese fries, Jen.
What even are chili cheese fries? Oh, my God.
Okay, so then I don't think she asks him to lunch. She goes to lunch with her dad.
She does go to lunch with her dad.
Oh, she does. He calls.
That is absolutely true.
And they have a really sweet talk. And it's actually kind of touching.
It is.
I was like, oh, I mean.
This movie's got some heart.
It really does, yeah. And so then she gets her action ponytail on, and she starts suiting up for battle. And she goes into the hospital.
And she makes a bad choice right away.
She really does. I feel like there were a lot of different ways to get the same out. She puts a knife to the cop's throat. The cop, who is a person of color, puts the knife to the cop's throat.
Well, that she only said that because this movie is not great to minorities.
Exactly.
Yeah. I hope it was a coincidence, but I don't think it was. We have to see the sequel now.
Just to know. I feel like it was a coincidence, but maybe like a blind spot that what kind of people were watching.
Color blind spot.
Exactly.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
You need to get some different kinds of eyes on this before you send it
That's
out.
That's why that Asian roommate was like, I'm going to clean up in this movie. So many lines.
Yeah.
Right.
You know he's living.
All right. So then she uses the knife to the throat to steal the cop's gun.
And then tells the cop to leave and go get help.
And she saves his life because the murderer was going
to
murder.
Yeah, I guess. But she's like, he's going to escape. Go get help. As she has a knife to his throat, and he's like, please don't kill me.
Right.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing with all of this, because as we are watching the movie, we have seen all of this happen. But up until this point, none of this stuff has happened yet. Like her roommate has not murdered anybody yet, has not committed any kind of crimes.
Well, no, so, I think baking eating a cup poison cupcake is a crime.
She tried to give it to her. So that's attempted murder, right? Yeah.
But she hasn't actually given. Like, if she threw it away, that's not a crime.
No, it is. If you give someone a poison cupcake with the intent for them to die, that's attempted murder.
If the roommate throws the cupcake away, the roommate hasn't done anything.
Oh yeah. So if she never gives it away,
what I'm saying is Tree's making all of these actions, and Tree is the only one committing crimes yet, except for the murderer.
Oh, I see where you're going.
If she survives the day, I mean, she could get
arrested. She is going to jail for a long time.
That's what I'm saying.
For probably attempted murder.
It's just like a Minority Report.
It is like Minority Report. I've only
because it's not like if she successfully kills this dude that they're going to come back and be like, oh,
it's okay that you stole my gun.
Oh, it's okay to murder serial killers while they're taped to a bed.
Right. So then she tries to shoot the patient who's restrained, but we find out the safety's on the gun.
The patient being the serial killer.
Exactly.
Henry Toombs.
You can't just walk up to a serial killer, restrained or not, and shoot them in the head.
No. Like,
there are
With the safety on.
It doesn't work. But then, and so then I wonder, maybe that was her plan all along.
It clearly was not her plan.
The way it happens, when she kills him, it's in self-defense. And before, if she had just shot him, that's not self-defense.
Self-defense to her, but it's not going to be self-defense in a court of law when she's
or to the cop who she held a knife to her neck.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
I want to talk about this fight scene a little bit because the whole time the power has been going on like what was it, 9:31 or something?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Every night. And you see her set her watch to go off at that time. Mm-hmm. So like during the fight scene, she's about to get murdered.
Yeah.
And her watch goes off and then the lights go out and she's no longer where she was. She's behind him with the gun
and she
kills him.
She's tactical roll back. And
I like that part.
I did too. I thought that was good.
And this fight was brutal.
Yeah, it was good.
It was, yeah.
By the way, wouldn't hospitals have generators where the lights wouldn't
They absolutely would because people are on life support.
They would. Yeah. Yes. Rolling blackout should not affect hospital.
So the rolling blackout helps her murder the serial killer, but it also murders everyone on life support in the hospital.
But this hospital's on budget because all the lights are off anyway.
All right, so then she shoots him and we think, oh, everything's safe now and she's fine.
And then they have their 16 candles moment under the window and she eats the cupcake. She
blows out the candle and then it fades to black.
Yep.
Yeah, and we just assume she ate the cupcake because then she wakes up in Nice Guy's bed.
I like that because Corey's also like, I'm glad you...
Carter.
Sorry, Corey.
But Corey would probably say that too.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, I'm glad we're together and all this other stuff.
Oh, by the way, it's amazing that she's back at her dorm.
She
doesn't need to be questioned by the police. Yeah.
Or at least detained, right?
I think the movie explains why she's not detained because we've already met the most incompetent law enforcement officer in the town.
That's true.
And he got run over?
Right.
But he's alive and he just comes in. The serial killer's dead. The cop's like, she held a knife to me. He's like, but the serial killer's dead. Wrap it up, boys.
Yeah. And then they give him the key to the city.
Nothing to see here. Folks.
Poor bunch of
She's a sorority girl. Send her home.
We're fine. Yeah.
What is even a murder?
Clues. We all skipped clues, Becky.
If I was a police officer, I would hate horror films so much more.
I would too.
Oh yeah,
they make them look so incompetent. Yeah.
I know, that's why Misery was great. We had a competent policeman.
Yeah, he was no deputy dumbass. Yeah.
You know why he was competent? Because of his wife.
Because she taught him a thing or two.
She held that shit together. Yeah. So then she wakes up again, and it's the same day. So we're left to wonder why. And she screams and just runs out and
goes to her room. And then this is when she sort of has the conversation with Fivehead, the murderer.
Yeah.
And she's like, and then I ate your cupcake, and then I woke up. Bum, bum, bum. And then
I died in my sleep because I ate your poison cupcake.
Now, do you think you'd immediately make that connection?
Yeah, I would.
I don't know. I think if I had died 16 times and that was the only thing left, yeah, probably.
That's true.
I mean, I might start thinking this is going to happen regardless. Right. I don't know. I don't know that I would immediately make the connection.
I'm with you, Corey. I would have been dumb. I would have been like, huh.
Yeah. But it was very smart of her to figure it out.
It was. Yeah, she figured it out. And then the roommate immediately revealed everything and told her the whole plan.
Well, the roommate doesn't admit it because she's like, well, why don't you try the cupcake?
Right.
The scene. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. You're not right.
Yeah, I don't eat cupcakes because I'm in a sorority. Well,
she's like, well, let's go to Deputy Dumbass and show him the cupcake and they'll test it. And as she's walking out, she
grabs
when
the fight begins. Yeah.
Yeah, she grabs her ponytail or maybe it's just
her hair. But
she has long hair. Yeah.
And then they start fighting. Yeah. And so they fight. And eventually, roommate ends up on top of her.
When Danielle comes to the door?
Is it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And covers.
What are you guys doing in there? Mm-hmm. Nothing. She just slipped or whatever.
Let's go back to my favorite line in the film. Well, just keep it quiet, you clumsy hoes.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
And no, we forgot to mention that there is a part where a man is on top of her and a frat brother walks into the room and sees it and just walks out.
So I mean, that's what you expect in the pleasure dome.
Exactly. Oh. That's why you don't go into the pleasure dome,
This
ladies.
Movie wasn't very nice to men, I don't think. Seriously. I think it makes some stereotypes.
I knew Jen would like this movie because it does play up on, like, guys are pretty bad.
There are good guys
there
in
are,
this.
Yeah.
And there's
Carter
a lot
roommate.
Of bad guys.
But there is that moment when that happens and I'm like,
just like the real world.
It is. Anyways, okay, so yeah, Becky comes to the door and as she's distracted by Becky, she says, oh no, occupied, ooh, we're all fine, jams the poison cupcake in her mouth, and then she backs off and she's trying to like claw it out of her mouth. Then she's backing up and she's against the window and Tree jumps on the chandelier and kicks her out the window and she lands right in front of Pink Sweatshirt's face.
The roommate barked up the wrong tree.
Nailed it.
She learned a lot. She really blossomed.
Yep. Aww. Tree puns.
So then we get them watching the news clip, and this is one of my favorite parts because they're
interviewing. You mean when Danielle's being interviewed by the news?
Yeah,
oh my god!
Like, and it was a stupid plan because Kappas don't eat cupcakes.
Actually, she turned around and
starts yelling at the minorities behind
her. Like, we knew she was weird because she doesn't ever wear makeup and she doesn't post very many selfies and she's always making cupcakes.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Tree, and you could just her and Carter, and you could just tell she's had her chlorophyll of the sorority life.
The plant cycle of life. Her mitochondria has kicked in.
Photosynthesis.
Tree is not arrested or questioned at all. Although I guess enough time has probably passed. They probably did question her. And there's a fight scene and she did make a poison cupcake. I feel like there's enough.
She could have just said she fell out the window.
Yeah
I dropped my cupcake. She slipped on it and fell out the window.
What are those two shoe marks on her chest? And why is that chandelier not on the wall?
He's not a competent sheriff.
Yeah, they don't care. Campus police. Anyways, it all wraps up. But I feel like in this version, there's enough evidence that Tree can get away with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not that she did anything wrong, but that everyone else will know that she didn't do anything wrong. So,
but this is the last scene. And this is where Carter's like, have you not seen Groundhog Day?
Yeah, we could have solved this thing.
He's like, since your room's a crime scene, you'll need a place to stay tonight.
Dude, you know what? Yo, that's right.
That's right, bro.
And this is really funny. This is something that I would do.
You're the devil.
Yeah. I like to play lots of tricks on Corey and make lots of jokes like very early in the morning. He's not always down with it. So she wakes up and she's in the same position and we think, are we reliving the same day again? She thinks because Carter is in the same spot that he normally is, but then we find out it's just a joke.
Yeah, he calls her phone and that's how she wakes up, is that ringtone.
Right. Yeah.
And that's how she should know he's the one because that is funny.
And then they share that moment where they're like on the bed, sort of like cutesy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the Asian roommate comes in and he's like, I gotta sleep in my bed. I don't want to sleep in my car anymore.
It's been 2 days.
Smells like Hot Pocket.
He just wants clean underwear.
That's all he wants. And they're like, ha, 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 get out of here. Right.
But you know what? He learned his lesson. He won't say fine vagina no more.
That's right.
He did learn his lesson.
And that's the movie.
Roll credits.
All right, so you guys want to talk box office? Let's talk box office. So this movie cost $5 million to make.
Really? That's cheap.
It's very cheap. The production budget was $5 million. And I don't know what they spent on.
I bet Subway put like $1 million in there for that.
I don't know how much they did to promote it, but I'm sure it was above that to help promote it.
There was a lot of marketing for this. I remember.
There was. But okay, so
because it came out around Valentine's Day, right?
It did. It was released on Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
Just like the sequel will be.
Yep.
So domestically, it made $55 million.
Dang.
And internationally, it made $69 million. So over the course of its run in theaters worldwide, it made $125 million off a $5 million budget.
Wow.
And then it made another almost 3.5, a little over 3.5 in domestic video sales.
Good for them, man.
Yeah, they made money.
The movie doesn't look like it's made for that amount of money.
It really doesn't.
It looks like a regular $20 million film or something like that.
But this really is not a single location movie, but it is not. Like one campus. They never leave that campus.
A couple of times.
So I see how they did it for that little and still made it look good.
And nobody in this movie is really a name. Like, I bet nobody had a super high price tag.
No.
And they didn't show a lot. I don't think they show hardly any death scenes.
No, not at all.
So you don't have to film many effects. So yeah, I can see why they could do it for really cheap.
I mean, and to pull it
dome,
off.
I mean, the Pleasure Dome is probably what costs the money.
Well, yeah. But it pays for itself, Corey. It pays for itself in, what was it? The Vagine? What was it?
The Fine Vagine.
Yeah. Vagine, yeah. I bet all the cast and crew were just hanging out in Pleasure Dome every night during the shooting.
They would be like, we're going to wrap shooting at 6:30, but Pleasure Dome kicks up at 9.
I bet bet they did.
I would. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. You got craft services. You got a club. If there's a place to go to the bathroom, I'm never leaving.
Good for this movie.
Yeah, they made money on this movie.
They did. Yeah, I really liked it.
All right, so let's do some Jen Fun Facts.
Fun Facts. So this movie, the idea for this
Jen's
movie.
Jen's Fun Facts?
Jen's Fun Facts has been around for a while. It was actually supposed
to. Since Groundhog Day.
Since Groundhog Day. They've just been repeating the same day over and over again, trying to get it made. So it was originally, they talked about it in 2007, and it was going to be starring Megan Fox.
Oh wow.
And it was going to be either produced or directed by Michael Bay, and it was going to be called Half to Death. So I think they learned some lessons along the days that they've been reliving over and over again, and they actually made a good movie.
I think this movie would have made a ton of money back then with Megan Fox.
Me too.
Oh yeah,
but Michael Bay, that would have been more than a $5 million.
Michael Bay and Megan Fox had a falling out after the first Transformers, so I bet that's the reason the movie didn't get made. I don't know exactly what happened between them, but
it's the second one.
Oh, was it? Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, I did know the falling out happened, so I bet that's why this movie didn't get made.
So the mask, the babyface mask, was made by the same guy who made the Scream Ghostface mask.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Not as iconic as the Scream Ghostface mask, but
no, it's not.
Not bad.
Well, it was going to be a pig mask. They made a pig mask and a baby mask because they wanted it to be something that would make sense as a mascot.
They picked the one that doesn't at all.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, but so the guy, it was either the director or the guy who's making the mask, was expecting a child with his wife. So he just had babies on the brain, he said, and that's what he chose.
I mean, they didn't really need to have the babies as a mascot. It really didn't tie into the at all, really. Right.
It was in a lot of the background stuff. A lot of people wore the mask in the background.
The only time you ever really see it, Corey, is when they're selling merch
at the very beginning.
At the very beginning. It's really the only time.
And I think the only reason they would do it as the mascot is so it would make sense for somebody to be wearing a mask.
I think a pig mask would have made more sense and have been creepier.
I don't know. I think they made both of them and they chose the one that, looking at the two of them together, they thought was creepier. So we don't know what the pig mask looked like. And it actually scared somebody in their office. So I think that's why they decided to go with it.
It kind of reminds me of The Purge. Or something. It seems like I've seen that.
Yeah,
I could see that.
The Strangers has a mask.
You can just tell they didn't go to college. That's not a good mascot mask.
So this was filmed at Loyola University in New Orleans.
Oh.
So it was an active campus at the time. So when they did the naked walk across campus, like they had to go to all these extreme steps so that nobody would see or take pictures of her doing
that. Was she actually naked?
She was, yeah.
So in the rated R cut, she's naked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet she actually had clothes
on. That shot doesn't go above her shoulders.
No, you see her back and her butt.
You do see her back and butt.
Just a little though.
And that's also in the edited cut. So there might be a cut where you see a little more. But anyways.
We got to get our hands on that cut, Mikey.
I have a huge crush on this girl, this actress. The whole movie relied on her to be funny and react to stuff. Yep. And she pulled it off.
Yeah, she did pull it off. I mean, she's definitely good. She'll be around for a while, hopefully.
Yeah, she's the one who sells this movie. Because you're right. If a bad actress was in that
That's
role,
a hard. That would be a hard role. Because she carried the whole film.
You know really what? Does. I don't know if Megan Fox could have done that.
I don't think Megan Fox could have.
Now, the movie back then may not have called for all that. Because it may have been completely different, but yeah. I don't think
lots
that could
more
have
explosions.
Yeah. It's Michael Bay.
This girl's got range. What's her name?
Jessica Roth. So in the last
tagging her on the Instagram post,
I said, remember where they're watching the news, because they had extended their time that they were allowed to shoot on the university. So they had to have that last scene where they're watching the news at a diner, and it's the same diner that they're sitting in Split.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. When both of them were produced by Blumhouse. So I think they may have been filming Split at the same time. So they were just looking for a set and they were like, oh yeah, let's just use this one. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. The original ending, I think this was a written original ending. Dr. Butler's wife was going to be the nurse and she was going to kill her with pain medicine. It would have been a different ending.
That would have been a different movie because she kind of deserved
it. See, I thought they could have done more with that.
Me too. Like, you don't really see him get any sort of comeuppance at all.
Yeah.
Right.
She breaks up with him and drops his class, but there's no repercussions for the affair at all.
Right. And because that's not really his story.
You're right.
I kind of like that they didn't go down that road, but they could have, and it would have been a different movie.
When she was breaking up with him, he was a real big dick to her.
He was. He was like, well, now I'm going to fail you.
Yeah. And I was like,
not giving me my blow jobs anymore, I'm gonna give you an F.
I think it's a good change, because I feel like if his wife was the killer, that blames her more for being murdered than if her roommate, you know what I mean?
Yeah
because the
people make mistakes
that the roommate gave first. She was like, you're a bad person and you're also trying to steal my man. So the roommate had the crush on the doctor too. We forgot to talk about this, which I didn't like at all. I mean, I don't want the roommate to kill her, but
well, the roommate just seemed unhinged because she liked the doctor and she's like, also you're just a total bitch,
right? And she's like, because she said, you're gonna kill me over a guy that you're not even sleeping with? Yeah, it was kind of a weak explanation.
Yeah, she's just a psycho killer.
Guess could say.
Okay, here's something that I was confused by a little bit, because in the trailer we have the It's Your Birthday song. Yo, Shorty, it's your birthday, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not in the movie, and that's because they couldn't afford the rights to it. So they had that ringtone. But how did it end up in the trailer?
Because
then?
They cut the whole film. It actually was good. They got people to invest and probably were able to get the rights for the trailer.
But they'd already shot the whole movie. Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. The director also wrote all or most of the Paranormal Activity movies. Which I really like.
Oh, really?
Never seen them.
They're good. You will.
Yeah.
So her birthday is September 18th.
Her actual birthday?
Yeah, her actual birthday. Oh. Her birthday in the movie. Yeah, this happens on
September 18th. Sorry. Yeah.
So Danielle, who's the bitch sorority sister, she's the granddaughter of Michael Landon from Touched by an Angel and
The Thing?
Little House on the Prairie. Michael Landon's not in The Thing.
Well, he needs to be.
Oh my
you
God.
You'd be like, guys, we just need to understand each other. We just need to love the thing. I think that's funny because like he's known to be such this nice guy and she's playing a total bitch in this movie.
That's really funny.
Well, she is an actress. She might be an nice, lovely person.
And the director of this, I think, is his nephew. So she's related to the director of the movie, too. But she did. I thought she was great.
She did a good job being a mean girl.
Oh, yeah. She was a great, horrible person.
She was. Yeah. You really hate her. All right. That's all my fun facts.
All right.
Scary Scale. Listeners, our Scary Scale is how we rank how scared we were by this movie today. Not the quality of the movie, but how scared we found it when we watched it today. Our one example is Ghostbusters. And our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Todd, what would you rank this on our Scary Scale?
Two. It's not scary.
Two. Yeah, I don't think it's scary.
It's funny. Like, it's a funny, good movie.
Yeah.
It's no The Rise of Leslie Vernon, but it's funny.
Well, so where's the not one coming from? What part?
The few jump scares, like the walking under the tunnel and the murderer jumping down. Some of the jump scares of the murderer being, like, right behind her, that kind of stuff. But it's not really scary.
Nah, I don't think so either. Yeah. Corey?
Yeah, I think a two. Two is what I was going to say, too. Yeah, it's just, it is still a scary movie or a horror movie, I guess, so it can't be just a one.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, it's a little more scary. Yeah, Mikey?
I'm going to give it a one. I wasn't scared.
I think I'm going to give it a one, too. Because, yeah, it's scary, but you know what's going to happen. You see all
absolutely.
Of it.
It's fun. It's a fun,
it's
scary
safe,
movie.
It's safe, scary. Yeah. So that's our movie. All right, guys. So next, we have a very special Valentine's Day episode.
Do we?
Yeah, we're going to watch My Bloody Valentine. We're going to have some special guests. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, that's right. We are a part of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. Obviously, they have a lot of great podcasts. And if you're listening to us in their feed, keep in mind you can listen to us 2 days earlier if you just subscribe to our feed, so do that. They also have
the Final Girls Death Dying and Other Things,
the Modern Horrors Podcast, which is
lots
the flagship
of great
podcast.
Shows. Check out our website, horrorvirgin.com.
Yep.
We got a blog. We got links to our merch
and all that good stuff. Yeah. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/horrorvirgin. If you want to follow us, it's at horrorvirgin on all the social places. So go there and find us. If you want to follow Mikey, it's mrandolph24 on Instagram and Twitter. Jen is at Jen Ferratu on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm at Todd J. Awesome on those platforms as well.
All right. So that's going to be it for us, guys.
Thank you, Corey, for being on the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much, Corey. Well, I was going to thank him later.
Thank you, Corey, for being on the podcast and helping us.
Mikey, we have to leave the room immediately.
Thanks for always fixing the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, thanks for always fixing
it. Thank you. Thanks for driving us to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Hey, look out for our live show. We might be posting it. Might have already.
Yeah, it depends if it goes well.
But yeah, thank you, Corey. Thank you so much for being on our show. It was really fun for me and awesome. And I think you did a great job. And
thank you. Such a cute couple.
We have our moments. So I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And
I'm your horror version, Todd, guys. Have a good week. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Have a nice week.
Nerds.